Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Rob from the Evanescence and Within Temptation community, and I'm coming to you live from Honolulu, Hawaii, here on my dining room table, and this is going to be a huge episode this week. We're going to have the latest in Evanescence and Within Temptation news, but in addition to that, we have an awesome interview with a huge fan of Evanescence and Within Temptation. Her name is Lindsay Schoolcraft, and we're going to get to that here in a second. Very, very excited to have a Juno-nominated artist here on my podcast. Before we do so, if you need to find where I'm at, you can find me on Twitter at the Ev Community, at the WT Community. And then also you can find me on Facebook at the Evanescence Community and Instagram on the Evanescence Community. So without further ado, we need to get on with the show because it's going to be huge, all right? All right, so it's been a very busy week for Evanescence, right? So they released a new video, all right, Use My Voice, and it features all the different female singers. Now, the video itself did not have all the featured singers. From what I could tell, I saw Lizzie Hale in there, and I saw Dina Jakub. I did not see any of the other ones, but pretty awesome video, right? So lots of great editing and directing by Eric D. Howell, and a lot of great on-location shoots to include Germany, Minneapolis, and various other places to accommodate for the pandemic. So, great video overall. Speaking of videos, Evanescence also was up for Video of the Year, from the rock category in the VMAs, and guess what? They did not win. I just found that out today. So it's a terrible, terrible tragedy. They lost to Coldplay, and the fandom, of course, is blowing up on Twitter about how much they now all of a sudden hate Coldplay. So, which is understandable, because if you are paying any kind of attention, you will see that the fandom has been going crazy trying to vote wasted on you to win, and it didn't win. So kind of disappointing. But you know, it is what it is. But that's pretty much Evanescence news. A lot going on, a lot to keep an eye out for, including some new singles. You know, from what I understand, Amy and the boys on the American side, which includes Troy, Will, and Tim, all got together and have been working with the producer. They've been working up this whole time to whip up some new tracks, and then they're working virtually with Jen in Germany because transatlantic travel is not allowed yet, you know, for the most part. So working together to create some new music and then releasing a single at a time until the whole album is released. So definitely looking forward to that. And then on the Within Temptation side of things, it is still kind of quiet. So, you know, I really like to see something new come from them soon. According to Sharon in some interviews, they are working on new music, but I guess they're keeping it under wraps. Who knows what's happening? I don't know if they're all getting together and recording, if they're all writing. I don't know what the situation is in the Netherlands as far as the pandemic, because I don't, unfortunately, pay too much attention to the Netherlands. I guess I should, especially if I'm reporting a podcast based on the Netherlands, a symphonic metal band from the Netherlands, right? It would be helpful, but I'm not. So I'm just going to have to start today. I might Google search it right now. Hey, how's the Netherlands doing, right? Might be surprised, okay? Hopefully better than America, right? So anyway, but they are staying constant on social media. They're engaging with their fans every single day. And I just kind of enjoy the various questions they come up with every day to kind of create engagement, you know, on their Twitter and Instagram and stuff. And they ask such questions like, you know, if you were to only pick one more song from our catalog that you can listen to for the rest of your life, what would it be, you know? And all this other just quirky, just engagement questions that I enjoy a lot. And so I'm wondering what they're going to come up with next. You know, if it's going to be like, if the color was blue and the airplane flew through the sky and you lived in Mississippi, what track from the heart of everything would you sacrifice to the volcano gods? And I'd be just like, you know what? This makes hella no sense whatsoever, but I'm going to answer it anyway. And I'll answer anything they put out there. Okay, what's your favorite color? Oh, shoot. Blue. You heard? Blue all day long there. Okay? So keep me engaged anyway. So I appreciate that from a fan perspective. Okay? So, other than that, we are going to take a quick break. That's just quick catch up on the news. After this, we have an exciting interview with Lindsay Schoolcraft. I'm really excited. She's calling all the way in from Canada to speak to me. So other than that, we'll talk to you in a minute. Okay, everybody, what is up? This is Rob from the Worlds Collide podcast, and we're in for a treat. We are live from my dining room table here in Honolulu, Hawaii. A beautiful, gorgeous morning. But the person I'm speaking to today, it's not morning time over there. It's actually in the afternoon. You got to love being half a world apart, but it's all good. Today we have none other than Lindsay Schoolcraft, who is a Juno nominated, which for who you might not know, Juno is the Canadian version of the Grammys, is a Juno nominated Ethereal Gothic Metal solo artist from the small city of Oshawa, Canada. As a singer, harpist, and pianist, she composes music inspired by her life experience and the music she has heavily influenced over the decades. Since 2010, she has released multiple singles and EPs, and in 2019, she released her kick-ass debut full-length album, Martyr, which was co-written by none other than Rocky Gray himself, the original Evanescence drummer. So other collabs include she worked on a comic strip slash musical collaboration called Beelzebubs, and many of you may know her as the keyboardist and backing vocalist for the British gothic metal band Cradle of Filth from 2013 through 2020. And in October 9th, 2020, the whole world is going to get slammed with awesomeness because her harp-centric album World Away is going to be released, and it's already available for pre-order now. Head to her website, lindsayschoolcraft.com. Without any further ado, I would like to now present to you Lindsay. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thank you. Thanks for that amazing intro. It was so sweet of you.
I sincerely was practicing it like 7 times in the mirror this morning. Like I was pointing at myself in the mirror. You know, I don't know if you remember like the old Saturday Night Live skits where Stuart Smalley would be like, "You got this. Everyone loves you."
You knocked it out of the park. It was perfect.
Thank you so much. So how are you?
Good, thank you. Wrapping up the month of August over here and involved in a lot of musical projects at the moment, and now I have my own small record label for the acts that I'm in, and that's been a lot of work, but I'm absolutely loving it, just living the independent musician life over here.
That's amazing to have that kind of freedom and not be like dictated by like maybe a record label or something. Must be like absolute freedom for you, right?
It is. It just takes a lot of discipline to boss yourself around.
I can absolutely imagine. And which leads me to my first question. So understandably, we're under a pandemic at the moment, and self-discipline is absolutely key if you want to get, you know, anything done in your life, because a lot of us have a lot of downtime nowadays. So how have you been staying productive during this pandemic?
Mainly when lockdown happened, I've been very blessed to say that my producer is my neighbor. I can walk to his house in 20 minutes, so he can't hide from me. We decided to keep doing what we love when we didn't really know what this year was going to look like. So I just hopped into the studio with him and started working on World's Way, which is this harp album, and it kept me really busy, but it felt really good because I felt like a teenager again. I was just doing music. I didn't have to worry about business or like responsibilities or adulting, or, you know, I just kind of everything stopped. But my biggest challenge was like getting to the grocery store and not making any human contact, so to say. That was a bit annoying. I had a favorite grocery store in the north end of our city that barely anyone went to. So I was like, okay, I got this. But yeah, it was really strange and but really great. Like, I just enjoyed it, but I did set deadlines. I lied to myself saying like, oh, this harp album's gonna be a breeze, and then like we're in it at the third month and I'm like, oh man, this is so much work, like wrapping it up, vocals, getting string players, like, you know, it wasn't easy, and adapting some of the songs to harp was a bit of a nightmare at points, but it was a labor of love. So yeah, it was just, I find that, being a creative person, the only way you can be productive is giving yourself deadlines and meeting them. And that's what really kind of kept me on my toes, but it was also extremely enjoyable, like the whole time. So, you know, just not spending too much time on social media, because, you know, I feel like everyone uses social media like a diary and a venting post.
Oh, it's a total drag.
Yeah, exactly. Especially Twitter. I think this was the darkest year on Twitter for me. So I kind of had to pull back and just talk to my people and avoid my feed altogether. But yeah, I mean, either not all around, like it's really strange. I'm very sensitive to what the world has gone through and people losing loved ones and jobs and stuff. But like at the same time, it has been one of the best years for me. But I think that's just because I'm such an introvert and I've enjoyed all this time inside, right? So like I don't feel bad about saying that, because like for some people this has been a blessing to really take a step back and find themselves and be okay with what's going on, or just like learn something about themselves or fix something. Like, so I know a lot of people, like they lost their job and they're like, this is great, I hated my job, now I can go find a new job. You know what I mean? Like, it's been really eye-opening for so many people. So I've just been kind of watching it unfold in my world, but everyone else's.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, what you said about Twitter is key, because, you know, I mean, traditionally, Twitter isn't the most positive place, and to put a pandemic on top of it. But what I've noticed, too, is when you do post on Twitter, it's not – I don't think it's negative as so much like it's introspective and it's uplifting as well.
And
oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, I think people need that. Like, you know, you scroll and you're like, oh, there's another, somebody's having a bad day. Oh, there's another anti-political, there's another anti-pandemic. Oh, and oh, there's something that's positive. And oh, who is this person? So I think it's absolutely awesome that you're adding value to the Twitter and the, you know, the social media space in general, because you're everywhere, right? You're not just on Twitter.
No, I'm on all the platforms, or at least I try to be. I don't mess with Snapchat or TikTok, and I've kind of abandoned my Tumblr, but that's okay. It is what it is.
Yes, absolutely. So, I mean, and with that said, you know, I've noticed, and I think I'm going to go into this a little bit here. With you on social media, with you out there putting your stuff out, you said you started a record label and you're putting your music onto the album, so you kind of do it as a DIY, do-it-yourself approach about distributing your music. And so, like, can you kind of go into, like, some of the process of that, and maybe, like, whoever's out there listening to this podcast, because I know if some people are going to listen to it, I'm already seeing some excitement about it. Maybe what you can do to encourage them to say, hey, you know, it's possible, you don't need a major record label to succeed. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, I think like the dawn of like becoming a superstar and getting a major record deal is dead. I don't think it exists anymore. And a lot of the labels are not really getting caught up with the times, especially in my world of heavy metal. I feel like they're a bit behind on what's actually happening. And I mean, I started out in a punk band, so I've always been homegrown, do it yourself. You know, fall back on your community, a lot of grit. And I think it's honestly the way to go. Like, there's no shame in educating yourself and investing in yourself and getting, like, you know, a business course or an online marketing course or whatever you need to do to kind of push yourself forward in business, but also continue to, like, share your art with the world. And yeah, I've been doing it. It'll be on my 35th birthday in February. It'll be 20 years that I've been a musician.
Wow.
In the industry. Yeah, I started really young. I started at 15. I actually was on like the local stage out here at an all ages venue with my first like all girl riot punk band and or girl riot or whatever. I can't remember the term. We were a lot like Jack Off Jill.
Oh, I remember them. Yep.
Yeah, we were called Princess Riot. It was my first band.
Yeah.
But it was really cool. It was really empowering to be on stage with like three other women, just like, you know, rumbling out punk rock tunes. It was like, it was incredible and an experience, but then it was heartbreaking when we broke up when I was 21. But, you know, I never really stopped. I kept doing bands and then went solo and then et cetera, et cetera. And that's the thing. I think that what it really comes down to is you're never, like, a record label's never going to be able to give your fans the experience that you can give them. And, you know, they record labels can be very cold and calculated and treat everyone like a number and like a figure. And I understand, like, sometimes that has to happen, like, you know, to make sure that the label can sustain itself. But when it comes down to it, like that whole artist fan relationship, I think is just so incredibly important. Because if you don't have that, like, what are you really offering people? Like, I have no issue sharing a piece of myself, and so many fans come forward and they share a piece of themselves with me. And that's just how it's always been for me. And I never want that to change, so to say. So yeah, I mean, it can be done to be an independent artist, but you really have to be like organized, hardworking, working smarter, not harder. Like, there's so many important things that you really need to do to get established, and you need to surround yourself with the right people. Like, when it comes to being in a band, I have seen so many bands hold on to a member who is holding them back from everything just because they do this one thing. And I understand sometimes, like, you're in a small town, you can't find people, but like, you can and you will, and it's okay to like get rid of those people if they're really holding you back. And like, looking back, the biggest mistake I've made with my career is held on to people who were essentially like holding me down and wasting my time and energy and my money and like bringing bad vibes to the project. Like, that's my biggest regret. I always wish that I let them go sooner, or, you know, whatever had to be done.
Right.
But yeah, I understand it's tough being in a band, but at the same time, it's also like, it can be done. You just have to be really smart about it. It comes to time and practice. Like, I don't have all the answers. Everyone's story is different, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. But I mean, you know, it sounds like too, though, I mean, 20 years doing music. And then, you know, what I think is impressive is like, it's very easy. And you brought up that, you know, metal labels are, you know, a little behind the times, still kind of doing things old school. And I think what kind of sets you apart from other artists who are from, and I say this loosely because I'm kind of from the same generation you are, but people in our generation, you know, I think have a hard time accepting like just social media in general and the power it has to promote you, right? And to get your name out there. They're still kind of stuck on that old label-centric way of promoting. And you're right, it just doesn't work, you know, as well as it used to. And some artists, they still make it work. But those are, you know, I think folks like you and folks out there that if they're smart, they need to get on what's currently working in order to succeed. So, you know, I've been following that aspect of your career now for, I think it's been about a couple of years I've been following you on social media now. And
yeah, we've been in touch for a while, I think. I'm trying to remember, but my brain's a bit foggy.
Yeah, absolutely. And no, and what drew me to you, in addition to the metal classical aspect of what you do, is the way that you do promote yourself. I recognize a lot of it based on, you mentioned taking some business courses and stuff, and some internet promotion courses. And, you know, I've taken a lot of those myself to kind of help what I do here. And I saw a lot of what you do and what I do. And I was like, okay, I'm going to pay attention to what she does and see where it takes her. And so far it's been great. I mean, just seeing the music you've been putting out and everything. So, you know, that to me is inspirational.
Oh, cheers. Thanks, man. I really appreciate that.
Hey, no worries. So with that said, you know, how, we're talking about your solo work. How fulfilled are you compared to being in a band? Like you mentioned your band when you were in junior high, and then Cradle of Filth you were in for a while. How fulfilled are you as a solo artist as compared to being in a band?
I mean, it feels really good artistically. I'm really happy with where things are today. I couldn't have done it without Rocky Gray and my producer.
That's like, awesome.
Rocky is a blessing. He's such a wonderful person. I call him like the Timbaland of rock. Everything that guy touches, like, it turns to gold. And, you know, something not a lot of people know is he actually gifted me 4 demos that Weir the Fallen didn't use.
Oh, wow.
On that album. Yeah, and that was, like, I mean, being, like, such a huge fan of the original lineup of Evanescence. And then Weir the Fallen. And then, you know, he's like, oh, here are 4 songs that, like, Ben didn't like. And I'm like, what? Like, these are amazing. And that turned into Savior, Light, Where I Fall, and Dangerous Game. Those were all, like, Dangerous Game was, like, a full song when he sent it to me. And I'm like, how did, like, Ben not want to work on this? Like, why didn't Carly put lyrics to this? I'm just so shocked, you know?
Right.
So, like, it's been extremely fulfilling for me to just be where I am and like, have the art that I do now and the fact that it's been out there and resonated with so many people. But at the same time, it has been, like, a labor of love and a journey and, like, so many learning curves. And doing it yourself has been – the whole DIY thing is hard. And now I have a team underneath me that, like, respect me and I train and we – like, we – there are brilliant people who – really help push everything forward. Like, being in a band is a lot of work. I currently am in a, like, black metal band that fuses, like, classical strings and piano to Gregorian chants and black metal. It's something else, and it's so much work because I'm like, they call me mom, and I'm like always telling them what to do and delegating tasks, and I'm in charge of the calendar and the budget, and it's, like, it's hilarious, but it's so much work. It's just so much easier to be a solo musician and do what I want when I want, and the people who are in my band, they understand that they're on call, and, like, there's a respect. Like, one of my biggest issues with, like, the industry is, like, and I don't mean to sound like a total jerk when I say this, but the whole, like, people trying to say, like, something is still a band when it actually just is, like, that one person, and being in that position, like, with Cradle of Filth, where, like, the band is Danny Filth and the rest of us were just, like, on call for whenever he needed us. But he's still, oh, we're a band. It's like, no, like, we're not. Like, you know what I mean? And that's the thing. Like, in my solo project, my musicians know that. It is my band, and I'm the one calling the shots because all the music's coming from me and who I want to write with and work with. And there's so much love and respect, and I'm very lucky in the sense that the musicians I work with, they're all in other bands, but, like, they're committed to me when I need them. And that means so much. Like, I have so much gratitude for them for that. Yeah, it's a weird dynamic. It's cool. And I'm, like, always tired, but, like, whatever, like, you know, it's just part of it. I honestly, like, when I started 20 years ago, I would have never sought any of this, but I don't think I'd want it any other way, and it doesn't necessarily bother me, you know?
I get it. And so you have control of the communication, the control of the logistics. It sounds like that, you know, you, and, you know, instead of feeling like, you know, your people are on call, I mean, just telling them straight up, hey, you guys, this is my thing, and you guys and gals, you know, if I need you, I'm going to call you type thing, but making it clear so there's no kind of animosity or whatever. That's amazing control to have, you know, as a solo artist, to have that kind of autonomy, I guess that's the right word, autonomy to, like, basically run your own schedule, run your own business, or the way you do business is, and it's funny, none of that has anything to do with the actual music, right?
No, it's weird.
Yeah. It's almost like the music's like an afterthought. Like, okay, I put all this together. Okay, let's record now.
Yeah. It's so weird. I think it's always, like, where I come from and why the bands that I was in before I went solo didn't work is because these people weren't on my level. Like, they weren't willing to sacrifice everything to kind of make it happen. I mean, it's not necessarily sacrifice. It's just a temporary hold of priority. And then you can have all those other things in life as time goes on.
Right.
It's what you really want out of life and where you put your time. But I kind of had to leave these, like, say it this way, it sucks, but I had to leave these people behind. And then when I went solo, then I could be like, okay, I'm hiring, like, this drummer and Rocky Gray and this producer, and this is my vision and this is how I want things to sound. And I'm not really going to compromise for that, because, like, it's just, at the end of the day, it's my life work. And I've some of my old bands kind of got, I wouldn't say screwed, but, like, put in that position where we were told we had to sound this way.
Yeah.
And do you know what I mean? And we had to, like, do this, and it was just like
constricting.
Yeah, it was. Oh, yeah. So, like, when I'm one of those people, like, I know what I want. I know what it wanted to sound like. I mean, I'm open to other people's suggestions. But, you know, when you have such, like, a headstrong vision, I don't think you should deter from it. And it's just, it's really nice. And it's, like, I always respect the people that I work with. And there's a lot of communication and transparency. So,
yeah,
it is different. But at the same time, it's, like, I don't know. Like, people can call me a tyrant if they want, but I'm like, my team, the people who work for me are happy, so I don't see the problem.
Well, I mean, no, and that makes perfect sense. I mean, at the end of the day, when people buy the album, it's your name on the album, right? So,
yes,
absolutely. Yeah. All right, so we've been talking, and being this is the World Collide podcast, this is a podcast about Evanescence and with them, Temptation, you know, two of my all-time favorite bands. So I, from following you for the last couple of years or whatever, I saw a lot of influence, and I saw you, you know, comment a lot and get excited over any new releases or anything that they're doing. So let's talk about them, if you don't mind.
Like, they're two of my favorite bands too, so why not?
Oh, they're huge, right? And to be honest, I got into Within Temptation just this year. It was back in February. It was the first time I actually really heard them. And you had mentioned in one of your tweets something about the Silent Force, and I know now why, because because I went on Spotify, and now it's like my favorite album of all time right now. Like, I listen to it almost daily. Such a huge classical influence. So
right?
I know, just massive. It's huge. So how have they influenced you, you know, and just, can you kind of explain your history with them a little bit?
Yeah. So, Within Temptation, I can talk about both. You have to cut me off with Evanescence, because it's been a big part of my life, like, forever. And then working with Rocky Gray, like, what? Excuse me, still have to pinch myself. But, Within Temptation, I kind of came into their like, late to the game with them, I'd say around The Heart of Everything came out, which is a beautiful album. But then going back through their catalog at the time and discovering The Silent Force, like, it's still one of my top five albums ever. And, like, it's produced so well, and they, like, you can hear every piece in the orchestra, which is so important. And I feel like that's where they really bordered, like, they really did that gothic fantasy metal thing so well. And that album was it was a huge influence on me during my vocal training years, like, when I got really seriously into classical, because my coach was like, your voice is very close to kind of like Sharon or Annika van Giersbergen of The Gathering, now on her own. And like, Sarah, I don't know if you know who Sarah McLachlan is.
Oh, she's absolutely. Like
a very dark singer from here in Canada.
So, you know, I'm not going to date myself. I'm not going to date myself, but I attended the Lilith Fair.
Worry. You what?
I went to the Lilith Fair.
Oh, I'm so jealous. See, I was too young for that. I'm so jealous.
I just graduated high school. So it actually came through my hometown of Minneapolis. And I went and saw, I've seen actually Sarah McLachlan twice live.
I only saw her once, but it was with an orchestra, so.
Oh, now I'm jealous.
Oh, God, I cried the whole time.
I can imagine.
Oh, God, like, I was just sitting there whimpering, like, when she did Angel Building a Mystery. Oh, my gosh, she's just incredible. So my coach was like, you sound more like these vocal types. That's, like, Within Temptation, it's just always been kind of part of my journey. I mean, I've seen them live too many times. And
oh, now I'm really jealous.
Yeah, and I've Cher knows who I am. I've bumped into her at festivals, and she's just so lovely. And I've had coffee with her. Like, she's just a wonderful human. Yeah, she's just, you know, like, really down to earth, like a cool rock star mom. it's so humbling when you meet people who are like legacy bands and they've really made it, and they're just so warm and loving and welcoming to the newcomers. You know, when in the past 7 years working with Cradle and being at all these big festivals and playing alongside so many of my influences, when you meet a band that's just done it for so long and they're like so kind and loving and open to the new people in the scene, I think that it changes everything, you know? So meeting her, like, that day, I was just like on cloud nine. That first day we like had coffee together in a hallway before she went into band practice. It was like the venue I was playing at, Within Temptation was rehearsing at.
Yeah.
Called the, it's in Tilburg. It's the 09. I can't quite remember fully, but, yeah, just like, and the guys in Epica came out that night to our show. Like, it was just such an incredible, the tour stories I could tell you are unreal. And being a fan of like this female fronted symphonic metal for so long, and how we're all just one big happy family who support each other. I mean, Cradle of Filth is more, it is like symphonic, but it's definitely like extreme gothic heavy metal with it's tiring on me now, but a very unique lead singer who sounds like a dinosaur, bless him. Sorry, Magoo, like saying it how it is. You know, he's not, you know, I got to be the female voice in that band, so I'm not complaining. It's just such a cool experience. And I mean, I really do, I still love Sharon's voice and when they put stuff out. I mean, it's definitely not what it used to be.
I'm
happy that I have the old stuff to fall back into, you know?
Absolutely. Like, the difference between their debut album Enter and their recent album Resist is like absolute night and day. And I'm being a new fan myself. I'm like listening, oh, I love Resist. Hey, let's hear what their first album sounded like. And I'm listening to it like, is this even the same band? What is this?
Oh, totally. Totally. You know, and the thing is like, her voice really hasn't, like, it's improved. Absolutely. But like, her voice is still, you know, it's Sharon. When she's singing, kind of like Amy, same thing, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a very distinct voice no one else can replicate. And that's, I think, why they're so big and successful. But yeah, it's like, it's cool. I'm just looking at my CD collection right now. And it's like, I have like DVDs and most of their discography. It's really amazing to just like kind of be part of watching them grow over the years.
That's awesome. And so, moving on to Evanescence. So during, we had a slight interlude, and during the break, you had mentioned, so you have not only like influential ties with the band, but it sounds like you got more than just, you're not more than just a fan, but it sounds like you're kind of more integrated with the supporting folks at Evanescence. Do you want to elaborate a little bit?
Yeah. So I guess the best way to start with it is like, I mean, I also speak with John LeCompte. And his wife are friends, and you know, every year at Christmas, I buy a bunch of his homemade beard oil and give it to all the beardy people in my life.
wow,
they appreciate it. John's a really cool guy.
Sure.
And then also Kirsten Copley, she's my harp teacher, and she's also Amy Lee's harp teacher. But she's
that's
a harpist.
Amazing.
She's done synthesis and you know, taught Amy harp. And Kirsten is just like the most wonderful person to learn from. She lives and breathes harp, and she embraces everyone's uniqueness. And learning from her, she just lets me be me, but also helps make sure I like improve. And she's like a big reason why this harp album turned out the way it did. And yeah, like, of course, I'm obviously a fan, but like, I am very now much integrated into their community. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like, I talk with Jen on social media.
Oh, she's awesome.
And like, and she gets it. She's been in this game for a minute, and she's been in tons of metal bands. So I think we kind of relate on that level.
Mm-hmm.
And, I really appreciate her for that.
FYI, she listens to this podcast. So speak
what's up,
nicely.
Dan? How you doing, girlfriend?
So that, hey, that's awesome. Just to be integrated in that community and drawing your influences directly from the source, basically. So not only do you have like their library and their catalog to draw from, but now you can actually go to, you know, the people who made it happen and get it, you know, straight from the horse's mouth. Must be huge for you.
Yeah, it's just, it's overwhelming some days that I just always like, okay, got to keep going forward, got to keep, you know, doing the thing. But it's just, it's unbelievable. I've been so blessed to be able to surround myself with so many inspiring, hardworking, successful people. And like, that's just been like my fuel to keep going.
That's awesome. So with that said, as far as moving forward, and you talked about your Harp album just now. So let's talk about that. So what can we expect from it? I'm guessing if it's Harp centric, it might sound different than Martyr, or what can we as fans expect from this new album?
Well, it's like an acoustic album. I guess it's my own way of doing something stripped back and orchestral, but not fully. Six years ago, I did a crowdfunding to obtain an electric harp.
And,
oh, wow. I'm really grateful for it. Like, the fans really showed up and helped me with that. And now, you know, I decided, okay, I'm going to do an acoustic album, because it's been 10 years of being a solo artist, and I've done, like, you know, EPs and singles, and then the album came out, and I was like, I really want to do something to celebrate the fact that it's been a decade of music, but I didn't want to do it with, like, guitar and piano. Like, there are bonus piano tracks that I took, like, songs and remade some old ones and stripped down some originals, and it's only through the pre-order, right? But, I was like, I just want to do something to commemorate this. And then, you know, as I started working on it, I was like, okay, it's on harp. It's really ambient. It sounds like lullabies, which my friends who are having kids, like, really appreciate, because the kids can fall asleep to it. And then, you know, I was like, but something's missing. So then I contacted my orchestrator, and he put some big lush strings on a few tracks. And then I found my friend Dagda from Spain. He's in the folk metal band Celtiberian. So he came in on viola, electric viola. So we really kind of stayed modern, and he did just a beautiful job. And then, of course, like, I was like, it's not going to be an album if Rocky isn't on it. So contacted Rockzilla, and I'm like, dude, can you put beats on like these three songs? Like, I feel like they're missing you. And he's like, yeah, sure, no problem. And then, like, you know, after a weekend, like, told him on the Friday, Monday morning in my shared folders, there's like all these like program beats. And I'm like, thanks, dude, you're the best. Love you a lot.
He just knocked it right out for you.
Oh, he's such a hard worker, and he's so efficient. And he's like, I just admire Rocky's ability to keep things simple and powerful and stay true to like his signature and sound. And I've always like had so much respect for him because of that, especially working with him and writing with him. Like, he loves music so much, and he loves creating it and writing with people and performing it, you know? And,
that's so cool.
Yeah, it was really fun. And then it was like 2 weeks of mixing and getting the sounds right. My producer's a champ. And then, it existed, and then I'm like, oh, here we go, pre-order time, boom. So I've loved the whole process of it. I'm really proud of it. Like, for anyone, you know, who is interested, like, I'm releasing a few more clips this week of other songs. There's only two new songs, a remake of a bunch of old stuff, you know, from Martyr, but also like previous catalog, and it's just a little bit different. But I had an interview recently, and this like guy who's like, he's wearing like a black metal emperor shirt, and he's like, oh man, I really dig the new album, it's so chill. And I'm like, I just think it's funny that you're wearing like an extreme metal band shirt, because like you love like a harp album. So it just felt like time. I didn't really see anyone else in, I guess, the female fronted symphonic world doing anything like this, and it's just something that I really wanted to see in the world. And it was fun, and it was like a learning experience, and Kirsten came in halfway, and I'm just so proud of it. It's just so nice. I mean, it's a lot, like releasing two albums, like one a year. That's been my track record, and it's like, yeah, I'm tired, but like, it's worth it.
But you know what though? I mean, that just speaks, you know, you talk about the hard work and everything that other people do. But I mean, it takes, like you said, when we said in the beginning of the interview, it takes a lot of discipline especially in these days where in the pandemic, we have, a lot of us have nothing but time. And, you know, the fact that you're out there, you know, making things happen for yourself, regardless of the world around you, and bringing all these people and helping you out and stuff. I mean, you know, I think the effort alone is going to make the album awesome. I know I picked up a copy for myself. I pre-ordered it, so I can't wait to hear it. I personally have never really heard any harp music myself, so this is going to be eye opener for me as well. But you know, I think it's going to be good. If it's you know, I listen to Martyr and I listen to, you know, the stuff that you do, and I'm expecting a great album. So.
Oh, thank you. Well, I really hope you enjoy it, and then just know that like there is another rock album on the way. I don't know when. I really need to replenish my energy and want to like. Dive into it. Like Rocky's already on board, he can't wait. You know, he's just like, yeah, let me know when you're ready, you know. But like him and I, like, we're just a writing brigade. Like, we'll just keep going and going and going, you know. We'll write up to 20 songs and then we'll be like, oh crap, we need to like cap this off and actually focus on putting out an album, right? But yeah, it's in due time. It'll definitely be, I think, in the future, like with the harp, bringing like more electronic sounds to the harp, kind of bringing it in like a guitar, and then like more electronic. Like, I'm still gonna, I'll forever say like dark symphonic. Like, I will never get rid of the strings, but maybe adding in a little bit of electronic music just to, to really bring out more of that dark mood that these next songs are really vibing. You know, of course, I have to sit down and actually work on them, but. Oh, no rest for the wicked.
no rest whatsoever for the hard working is what it is. So with that said, you got the heart, you got your upcoming album, The World's Way. So is there anything else you'd like to mention? I saw some stuff in your bio, something upcoming soon?
Let me think. I am in, like, I don't know if anyone is really into this. If you are a fan of Cradle of Filth, like, you'll probably like it. But I am in, like, this black metal band called Antiqua. Yep. And it's a band that I started with. I'm not sure how many people are aware of him. His name is Zenwar. He's like the lead singer of an Australian progressive metal band called Ne of Libiscaris. And him and I just came together wanting to do like really dark classical music to this certain style of metal. So we are bringing out a single hopefully before Christmas.
Oh, awesome.
But it's really like, strangely enough, a lot of like what Amy did on The Open Door. Like, I have The Open Door tattooed on my back in lines because that album changed my life. It's very inspired by that and my classical training, you know. But I just, I'm having the best time ever writing for that project. It's really bringing out the classical musician in me that's kind of been laying dormant and just suffocating, waiting to come out. So that's where my focus is going to definitely be for the next 8 months, finishing this single, getting it out, and then finishing the album with the lineup. But I'm just having like the best time, and I sing really differently on that project. Like, there's a lower part of my range that I've like Cradle really never allowed me to tap into, and like you wouldn't necessarily hear on my solo work because it's a lot brighter and higher, but I'm really just enjoying this new adventure. And I mean, I don't care if it ever blows up or not. I just want to get it out there. I would just want to make art.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That sounds great. So I'm definitely looking for it before Christmas, right?
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, it's going to be really different. It's got like Gregorian chant and, oh man, it's insane. It's dark.
Hey, that's okay.
But the cool thing is that for the first time in my entire life, I get to actually record on a grand piano.
Oh, wow.
Which is, like, huge. Like, usually, like, a lot of people don't understand that to record on a grand piano, you need a lot of money. Like, it's a big budget, but we've been blessed to be able to sort that out. And, like, I've never recorded on a grand piano before. I used to play them when I worked at a music store.
Nice.
But it's huge. I feel like a pro now.
yeah, stepping it up. Hey, that's awesome. And nice little Christmas gift for those out there too, if you there's somebody into that. So yeah, absolutely. I'm gonna keep my eye out for that as well. So
I hope you like it. And if you don't, I won't judge you.
Okay. Thank you. Is there anything else you would like to put out there?
No, I think we're good. good. I mean, you got to shut me up. I can talk for hours, and I'm just gonna like tick back now. It's your podcast.
Oh no, it's all good. It's for the it's for the fandom. That's what it is. So
yeah.
So with that said, after the pandemic and everything's available to travel, like I said, the invitation to Hawaii is, you know, always open. If you feel like you need to come out here and hit the surf or whatever and take a break from the darkness and come out and see some paradise.
The darkness of Canada and our winters. Honestly, I would love to. I spent 2 weeks in New Zealand last year. I know that's like the closest I've ever gotten to Hawaii. I've never been, but Polynesia is beautiful. It's a whole other world, and it's like, I understand why people want to go and escape there. I get it.
Oh, it's gorgeous. Absolutely. Yeah. So
I understand why you live there.
It's all good. All right, Lindsay. Well, unless you got anything else, I'm going to go ahead and,
good.
All right. Awesome. Well, again, thank you so much for taking some time out of your schedule to talk to me on my podcast.
Yeah, of course.
Best of luck to you in your future endeavors with your new album. And again, you know, appreciate you, you know, explaining kind of the DIY stuff, talking about Evanescence, Within Temptation, your history with Cradle of Filth, kind of what's going on, your collabs and everything. Sounds like you got a lot going on, but you still managed to find 45 minutes to talk to me. So I'm very grateful.
100%. Thank you. I wouldn't want my Sunday any other way. I'm actually just about to go live on Facebook with everybody and play some harp. I'm really stoked. It's just been awesome to chat with you and finally meet you, and like all the best with your podcast. Like, thank you for having me, and you know, I'm always around if you ever need anything. You want me to come back again and we can just talk about Evanescence for an hour? Like, totally. I can give you like a musician's critic view review of like any of the albums.
Oh my. I might have to show up with my three-piece suit and Chardonnay for that one.
Yeah, like an actual, like I actually had to dissect like musically from a theory standpoint and a writing standpoint. Like a lot of songs were Fallen and The Open Door. So if you ever just want to talk about those two albums and from a theory nerd classical musician's point of view, I'd be more than happy to like go track by track and tell you why people love these songs for what reasons. It's, you know, one of my hidden hobbies.
You know, part of me thinks if you met Amy and started coming at her with that level, she probably, her mind would be blown, right? Because like usually people come up to her, oh, I love your music, can I have a selfie? Whereas if you came up and said, well, you know, the way that you orchestrated this climax at this measure and this, and she'd probably be like, what? Well, who is this person?
Like, I think she's so brave for doing her own version of Lacrimosa. Like, that, like, so much respect, because, like, not many musicians are brave enough to take classical music and, like, do it in their own vein and put a twist on it. We've talked about it for my black metal band. Like, hey, let's just do a black metal album in the future with all the classical music in the background. And, like, I mean, yeah, sure, we might get shat on, but, like, you know, the fact that Amy, like, was brave enough. Yeah, no, I would love to talk to her. I think her theory and training is far beyond mine, but yeah. I can appreciate it. You know, maybe one day I should probably go back to school, but, like, I don't have time to. I barely have time to eat and do the laundry right now, so one day.
Well, you're too busy making waves and making things happen, so. All right, well, yeah. I'm not going to hold you up any longer. You need to go and make history, yeah. So. All right.
Cheers.
Again, thank you so much. And everybody, that was Lindsay Schoolcraft. So thanks again for listening, and bye.